Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Living the Good Life here from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you are joining us today. Whether you are listening live as we do this show this Sunday afternoon, or if you're listening a week later through the Starcom Media Network, which we are now a part of. At either place, we're just glad you're joining us today and excited about what God's going to do on this show. It is always wonderful to see what he's up to. And we are having a gorgeous day here in Clearwater, Florida today. And some of you may not be having that kind of day some places where you are, but it is like 75 and sunny and gorgeous. Betty, are you on the line with me?
Yes, Pastor, I'm here.
So me describing that is not too nice, right? Because you're up there in the frozen tundra of Indiana.
Yeah, you know, it's not too bad here today. I actually got to go out with just a coat and a sweatshirt and hat, and we've reached a balmy 55 degrees.
Oh, good for you.
And the sun's shining, so we're up to our ankles in mud.
Yeah.
From all the snow and rain, but... you know what? This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Amen. And we're looking forward to a great show. We've been talking about it. You and I and your daughter Megan will be on along in just a little while. And, you know, we've been in this series about God's goodness, grace, and glory. And that's what it's all about. And he is so good, and he is answering prayers. And Betty, I know you and Pastor Jim do the prayer line for Beacon of Hope, and are we not seeing answers to prayer all the time?
Oh, yes. In fact, we've had, I think we've had three come in just this past week that the prayers have went out, and miraculously,
yes,
the Lord is working speedily in answering our prayers. One lady was released from the hospital that they thought there were spots on her lungs, masses on her kidney, and they are going to be able to be taken care of.
Yes,
from the great physician,
right,
and also the physician that, you know, the Lord has given her. We had a breakthrough on my horse Banner.
How is your horse? Yes,
his abscess broke this morning.
Praise God.
What happens is like a pressure that they get inside their hoof, and from a bruise or from some type of abnormality in their body, but his was caused from the hard ground and so forth. It broke today, so he is relieved.
Oh, good.
We are believing for a miracle for someone's mom.
Yes.
That we sent out today. We are believing for a total healing for
Amen,
her.
We are.
And my cat, bless her heart, she's still in the bed in the hospital.
Is she?
Yes, but we're believing by faith now.
Amen. Amen.
She's going to be raised up and made new, and we get to bring her home tomorrow. So praise God for his mercy and his grace.
And you know what you're saying is that God still answers prayer, and that he's the healer of our bodies. He's also the healer of our emotions and our hurts and all of that. And he's the God of all comfort. And so, you know, when we serve such a powerful, amazing, all-powerful, all-omnipresent, omnipotent, everything that he is, we just can't help but praise him, right, Betty, for all these answers to prayer. And you just mentioned two or three, and we just have them continually coming through the prayer line. But thank God that he is moving in our lives in such a dramatic way that we can praise God and just be so grateful for the answers, you know?
Oh, yes. I said, you know, after no matter who we are, where we are, what we're going through, that, you know, Jesus answers prayer.
Yes. Amen.
And I believe with my whole heart that we're going to see much more going on in the heavenlies, and more answers to prayer, miraculous prayer.
Amen.
People being raised up.
Yes.
From the pits. People are being healed. People are going to be healed. People are going to get out of wheelchairs and
Amen.
They're going to walk. And they're going to be able to pick up their mat and walk. Just like Jesus told them that they would.
Amen.
And it's going to be these next few weeks, months, and years are going to be a definite move of God's Spirit.
Oh, amen.
On all man. I believe that.
We so agree with that. Betty Thomas up there in Connersville, Indiana. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister right here in the studio, pastor of Beacon of Hope Ministries. Beacon is in our 14th year, I guess. I mean, it's crazy. I forget. It's so much. But we thank God for everything that he's done through the years, through this ministry, in particular, this radio show, which is in its 8th year. And right here on TAN Talk 1340, originating out of Clearwater, Florida, but now on the StarCom Network Media also, which we are very grateful about that and very excited, aren't we, Betty, for the expanded, greatly expanded outreach now.
Oh, yes. And I said, you know, that's what God is calling us to be fishers of men. And
amen.
That this is an outreach that can reach hundreds, if not thousands of people.
Amen.
To be
absolutely
able to hear the word of God. And it's a blessing. I mean, this is, you know, we've been praying for this for a long time.
Yes, we have.
And God answered that prayer.
He certainly did, and we are very, very grateful. So welcome to all our new listeners, wherever you are around the world, because these stations go into different countries also now. So we are excited about what God is doing. We are a word teaching, faith building ministry. We believe in the full gospel. We believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that Jesus is the Savior of our souls, that he forgives our sin and heals our bodies, that he's still healing people today. We believe that the gospel is current and for right now, and that the stories of the Old Testament and some of the New, that are so many things, they pertain to our daily living now. And we have been in Exodus for a few weeks. We're going to go back there today. If you have your Bible and you're not driving down the road, Exodus chapter 12 is where we're headed. And this great deliverance of the children of Israel so long ago, but it still pertains to us today. And it's going to teach us tremendous lessons today about Jesus. And that's what it's all about. It's all about him. In John chapter 1, John, the Apostle John, wrote so long ago about Jesus that he is the Word, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. We're talking about his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we're talking about that grace. We're talking about that truth. We're talking about the goodness of God and his amazing glory. And so stay tuned. We've got a great song to kick off the show today. And that is from Susan Ashton, but it is Psalm 121. And a wonderful psalm in your Bible. Here it is. Listen.
I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help, it comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let my foot be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. Behold, who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Oh, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is the shade on my right hand. The sunshine lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help, it comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Praise God. He is our keeper. He is right there watching over us no matter what it is we're going through. Some of you may be going through some very difficult circumstances in your life right now. Maybe physically you're hurting, you're in pain, possibly you're in some emotional pain and struggles. God wants to really bless you today and alleviate that pain for you. Let's pray together as we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share the Word of God with our listening audience today. We thank you, Lord, that the Word is powerful. Your Word says it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to get down on the inside of us and change us, heal our bodies and heal our emotions and do a fresh work in each of us. Lord, we claim that today for our listening audience, that they will be so blessed by your word, your precious word coming alive in them today. Lord, we just thank you for your healing power and praise you for this lesson that we're going to talk about today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're in Exodus 12, if you just joined us. And last week and for a couple weeks before that, we've been talking about everything that Moses and his brother Aaron went through in the land of Egypt, because God had told Moses to go to Pharaoh, the king, and tell Pharaoh that God wanted all of the Israelites who had been in slavery for at least a couple hundred years to be released from that slavery, from that bondage. And Moses did that. He did that over and over again. He, in obedience, he and his brother Aaron went before Pharaoh, the king, and said, let my people go. You know, let all the Israelites, which was really over 2 million people, let them go out and worship God away from Egypt and be, you know, no longer be slaves to Egypt. And Pharaoh continued week after week, every incident that happened, Pharaoh continued to have a very, very stubborn, I guess it is, attitude about this. And he kept saying, no, you cannot take the people. And, you know, finally, after one plague after another, Pharaoh began to break down a little, and then he said, well, you can just take the men. And then later he said, well, you can take people, but you can't take any animals or livestock. And this continued on, and it just got worse and worse and worse, to the point that when we get to Exodus 12, there have been 9 plagues that have descended on Egypt, but not on the children of Israel. Megan, are you on the line with us?
I'm on. How are you?
All right. We know you got a little horsey throat, and I did too, but that's all right. We'll be fine today, won't we?
That's right. We'll power through it.
We will power through it. Don't you think, Megan, and then I'll go to your mom, Betty, for an answer on this too. Don't you think this is fascinating that as these plagues developed, that the bad stuff that was going on, the locusts, the frogs, the attack of flies, gnats, all this awful stuff, darkness, and that was the last one, plague number 9, darkness, all these things settled down on Egypt to cause Pharaoh, the goal by God was to try to get Pharaoh to release the people. Pharaoh was stubborn. But as these plagues began, we see over and over again two very important concepts. And one of those, the first one I want to discuss, is that these things were happening to all the children of Egypt in Egypt, but nothing was happening to the Israelites. What do you make of that, Megan?
Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me that those Israelites were the chosen people, so they were protected by the power of God.
Amen.
That's what that tells me.
And does God still protect us today, Megan?
Yes, he definitely does. He protects his children.
He does, he does. Betty, comment on that, will you? Because I think this is just amazing. What, as we see these plagues develop, how God protects his own.
Yes, I totally believe with what both of you are saying, because, you know, he upholds us, like what she had saying about, he upholds us with his right hand.
Amen, yes.
We rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
And if you can just imagine just resting in the shadow of the Almighty, how those Israelites felt, it's like they're seeing all this devastation going on around them, and they have to be thinking, what's going on?
You right.
Know, there's locusts, you know, frogs,
right.
Gnats.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was awful.
The worst of the worst, and I would have to say flies is probably the worst. But it all boils down to that God will protect his own.
He does. He does. He does. He does. And so for our listening audience out there, probably a lot of our listening audience know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and realize that protection that he gives us. And Psalm 91 is what you were referring to. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it goes on in Psalm 91 to say, no evil will befall you, neither will any plague come near your dwelling, for he gives his angels charge concerning you. Megan, I think that you and I, Betty, and all of us can attest to so many times in our lives when God's protection, and we know his angels have been close around us, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Even in, you know, if there's a day when you're fearful of something, and you cry out to him for protection, and you put on the armor.
Right.
And you pray for a garrison of angels.
Yeah.
You feel it.
Yes.
You know they're there.
You know they're there.
You'll make it through the situation, and then you come out and you go, oh, wow, he was there. I feel good about this.
You know, right.
It hits you. It usually, like with me, it hits me after the fact.
Right.
Because you have such peace during that moment, and then it's like, oh, my gosh, the Lord was right there beside me the whole entire time,
oh.
Just like he always is.
Absolutely. And you know that this 10th plague, when it began, is actually in Exodus 11. And this is the final straw. You know, God is saying, okay, Pharaoh, enough's enough here. And so he tells Moses, I'm going to hit Pharaoh. This is chapter 11. We're going to back up a little bit just to talk about this 10th plague. I'm going to hit Pharaoh in Egypt one final time, and then he'll let you go. And right there, we know that God sees the future. He knows what's going to happen. God knew all along that Pharaoh was going to be stubborn and not let the children of Israel go willingly. And so plague after plague happened to break down Pharaoh's resistance. And anyway, He says to Moses, tell the people, I'm in about verse 2 of chapter 11, to ask each man from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for things made of silver and gold. And God saw to it that the Egyptians liked the people, and Moses was greatly admired. And we know that when the time comes here in a few more verses, and they're getting ready to leave Egypt, all the children of Israel, they are asking the Egyptians for gold, silver, all kinds of things, and the Egyptians willingly just give it to them, don't they? I mean, Betty, this is amazing to me, how God provided. This is another example of God's provision. We just talked about his protection. Now we're talking about his provision and how he took care of his children.
Oh, yeah, because he's asking them to give up their most precious things and give it to him.
Right.
To him and give it to him now.
Right.
And, you know, reflecting back over the few messages from the radio show.
Right.
Is that even during these times, through these 9 plagues that God had put upon the Egyptians, it still gave them a chance, or Pharaoh a chance, to let his people go.
Mm-hmm.
But
it
then it came down to the 10th one, which is death.
Right.
And he gave him a chance, but he didn't listen.
Right.
And he, you know, he told Moses, get out of my face. I don't want to see you anymore. And Moses told him, says, okay, have it your way, buddy. You
right.
See my face again.
Right.
And that's when God said, okay. And that's when the provisions came forth with all of the gold and the silver. It's like, okay, give up all your precious things, your gold, your silver, because that's what they held. That's what they held most.
Yes.
The material things.
Right.
And God said, here you go.
Right.
And that's what he does. When he says, here you go, you might as well take it, you know, take that to the bank, because they did.
Right.
I know that sounds, you know, so blunt, but God was giving them what they needed to survive for the rest of the time that they were going to be
absolutely
moving on, you know, moving on up. They're going to be out of Egypt here before too long. But it takes something so drastic for people to realize that what God says he's going to do.
Absolutely. And what you're describing, Betty, is an absolute miracle where God provides for his children in a very unusual way. They didn't have to beg, borrow, steal, nothing like that. They just ask. And the Egyptians just poured all these riches into their laps. And I think a lot of that was because the Egyptians had it with all the plagues and with everything and Pharaoh's stubbornness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because if you look at it from a standpoint of the Israelites were in bondage by Satan.
Right.
And God wanted to take his people to himself.
Yes.
I mean, it was a chance for the Israelites to have a new beginning, a
Amen.
New life outside of the bondage that they were in.
Amen.
And, you know, God appointed Moses and Aaron to do this. It sometimes that we are appointed to do something, but we, you know, we come, you know, screaming and shaking and saying, no, I can't do this. But again, God gave them the way. He gave the path. He paved the path for them.
Right.
Showing them every step along the way that I am with you.
Amen.
I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's exactly what he did.
He so did. And in all of this story, when we get to chapter 12 of Exodus, we find the great, wonderful story of the Passover. And the Passover is the foretelling, if you will, the beginning. It's giving you an idea of what God's got in his mind, what his plan is for humanity. And here in chapter 12, we see that God is giving us a picture thousands of years before Jesus was sent to this earth. He is giving us a picture right here of what Jesus is going to come to this earth and do. That's another reason this is so exciting. So really, yeah, we're in Exodus, but we're all about Jesus today. We are seeing the shadow of what will be when Jesus comes to this earth, which he did about 2,000 years ago, right? So let's jump right in to Exodus chapter 12. And so God says to Moses and Aaron, this from now on, this month that we're in right now is going to be the first month. Why? Why is that the first month? Because that's the month of this new day. It's the month of the new beginning here. Everything is changing right now in Exodus chapter 12. And that month was either March or April. And it was what they called the month of Nisan. And so he said, from now on, this is going to be the first month in your Jewish calendar, which it is, okay? And he said, you're going to tell all of the community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one lamb to a house. Ah, this is so cool. Because Jesus has been referred to through the New Testament over and over again as what, Megan? The lamb. She's sneezing.
That's right. I'm sorry. I had you on mute. I had to sneeze.
I know. I thought you were sneezing. Jesus has been referred to as the Lamb of God, right?
Amen.
Over and over again. And so, therefore, in the Old Testament in Exodus 12, we see the first teaching on why Jesus is later called the Lamb of God. So God tells Moses, tell the children of Israel, everybody get a lamb, one for each household. And if you don't have very many in your household, then share it with another household. And he gives him specific directions. And he says, this lamb must be a healthy male, 1 year old, and it can be either from the sheep or the goats. And then you're to keep it penned up for till the 14th day. Now, so interesting that there is a four-day period here where the lamb is being watched. And this can be related over to the New Testament when Jesus did that wonderful, what we refer to as Palm Sunday, when he rode on the donkey, and there was a four-day period between that event and when he's on the cross. And this is called the watch time. And people were watching the lamb. When Jesus came to this earth, it was Jesus they were watching during those 4 days. Here, they're watching that lamb that's been penned up. Kind of cool, isn't it, Megan? This, how this correlates, isn't it?
Yes, I've never had it explained to me that way, the significance of how something that happened so many years before Jesus also prevails to when he walked the earth. And by the time that he died on the cross, which they sacrificed the lamb, Jesus, and then with him being on the donkey,
right,
within that same period of time,
yeah,
it's such a correlation. It's really cool.
It really is, because there is that four-day watch period. And what's interesting, the number four in the Word of God always refers to worldwide evangelism, you know, where everybody's seeing the gospel. Okay. And so really what was happening right here is that the children of Israel were all looking around at that lamb that they had in the pen for 4 days. And I'm sure they had no clue at this point what all the significance of this was, Betty. And I think a lot of times we don't know the significance of everything that's going on right in front of us, do we?
No, I can say to for myself, I'm sometimes totally clueless.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, Jesus is our Passover.
Amen.
And, you know, the way that you explained it is just so relevant for today.
It is,
about,
yeah,
some of the things that we're going through is the trials and tribulations that we're going through.
Right.
That we have to depend on God. And that's what the Israelites did, is they had to depend on their God to get them through this.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they've seen all of this happen. I mean, it's before their eyes, they've seen all of this transpire. And, you know, just the way you just explained it, I mean, it gave me goosebumps to realize that correlation between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Oh, yeah.
That when you realize it just comes alive.
Doesn't it? I mean, it comes alive to you,
yes.
And you realize,
yes,
that God is so totally intentional and purposeful that he had in his mind clear and before the foundation of the earth, he knew that the creatures he created called humans would sin and they would need a savior. And the problem is we all need a savior. Egypt needed a savior, but Egypt rejected the children of Israel. You know, they turned them into slaves. And so often the devil is working behind the scenes in our lives to totally mess with us, you know, and to make us slaves to whatever, right, Megan? We've all been slaves, and probably a lot of our listeners are slaves to something today. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And that's who Pharaoh was. He was the leader behind why the Israelites were turned into slaves.
Right.
And it makes me wonder about the people that followed Pharaoh. You know, as they began to see these plagues happening, and then eventually they had their firstborn child,
right,
killed.
Right.
And it made me wonder, when I read that, did any of those Egyptians question Pharaoh's authority when they started seeing the power of God? And
I think they did. You know why I think that? You know why I think they did? Because it was obvious. Let's look in Exodus 11.
Not to backtrack on you, sorry.
No, that's okay. That's a great point. In verse 7, where God tells Pharaoh through Moses, you know, here's what's going to happen at midnight. The firstborn of every child and every animal every servant, everybody, including your own child, Pharaoh, is going to die tonight, okay, at midnight. But he says down here in verse 7 of Exodus 11, but the Israelites, man, woman, animal, there won't be so much as a dog's bark, so that you'll know that God makes a clear distinction between Israel and Egypt. You know, I think we live in a day and time where people will say, oh, you say, well, did so-and-so know the Lord? Did they go to heaven? Oh, I don't know. You know, they were good. They did a lot of good deeds, you know? And I think we live in that time, Betty, where people, there's not as much distinction between Christians and people who don't call themselves Christians as maybe there should be in some ways, you know?
Well, you know, it's not that we wear a cross on our chest all the time, but I think that in the circle of our geographical areas is that most of the time people will see you just like they watched that lamb for 4 days, just like
right.
Jesus was on Palm Sunday when he came in on the donkey.
Right.
Is that people are going to see you.
Yes.
And they're going to see you at the grocery, or, I mean, this is in today's world. They're going to see you at the grocery. They're going to see you at Walmart, or they're going to see you stepping into a worship center, and they're going to know, there's something different
something
about
different.
Her. And I can say that about my daughter, because there's several times in her life that people knew, or they know, that there's something different about her. And they can say the same thing about you, Marcia, and they can say the same thing about me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That people know you by what you do and what you say.
By your attitudes,
and,
all of it,
oh,
you know?
Yes. You know, it's, driving down the road, if someone cuts you off and, you know, you're ranting and raving because, you know, someone just cut you off, they're looking at you just to see if they can get a reaction out of you.
Right.
And I've noticed this even in family gatherings and situations, is that people are looking at you thinking, I wonder what kind of reaction she's going to get if I say this.
Right.
Or if this is done. And I think that's what, when Megan made that that great point about, did they see this going on?
Yeah.
Did they know what was going on? Did they have an opportunity to say, God, I am so sorry? You know, even the first to the ninth plague, were they able to ask for forgiveness? And, you know, that's something, I don't know if it was brought out in the Old Testament or not, but it's like, people, even right now, right to this very minute, if you don't know Christ,
right,
I pray that you do.
Amen.
Because it is coming down to the final days and the final weeks, months, or years.
Right.
That we want, and he wants, the Lord wants, as many people on that bus, so to speak, that leaves here,
right,
to go up to, you know, the heavenly places. He wants as many people, and he's calling us to be messengers and to go out and bring them in. And
oh, amen.
Just bring them in, people, bring them in. And you'll know when you meet people if
right.
they truly know and love the Lord as much as you do.
When you were talking about that, it reminded me of something that happened to me 2 days ago. And I am a realtor and have been for 23, 24 years. And the company I'm with is wonderful, Charles Ruttenberg Realty. And our broker every Friday morning gets on, does a video chat with all 4,000 of us, or however many there are now. It's ridiculous. Largest office in the United States. But anyway, he closed the meeting Friday morning, and these meetings are 5 minutes or 10 minutes. They're very short. But he closed the meeting by saying, where's your badge? Where's your name thing? Where's your little tag that tells who you are and what you do? He said, how many of you walk out of your house and forget to wear that? Well, I'm one of them. I'll wear Ruttenberg shirts a lot, but I a lot of times forget my name tag, okay? And when you were talking about that, Betty, it just reminded me of that, the importance in business of showing who you are, being strong enough to stand up for the company that you work for, or that type of thing. And how much more should we be doing this for what we believe in God Almighty and the Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross as the Passover lamb? How much more should people be able to tell They may not be able to tell I'm a realtor just walking down the street without my badge on, but boy, they should be able to tell by when they interact with me that there's something different about me, right?
Amen.
Megan, Amen. Talk to us about that.
You know, that's what we should be proud to wear our badge of honor.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is a child of the King. And I'll tell you what, that's something that is so cool you brought that up, because I am so proud to wear my badge.
Right.
And, you know, whether I'm persecuted by people on a daily basis or whether my character is questioned, I never take that badge off.
Right.
Because that badge defines who I am.
Right.
That badge defines that I believe in the Lord, and I believe in giving His love to you no matter what someone does to you, whether it's road rage or someone said something negative about you. You still have to keep that badge in view of those people, because that's your job.
It is.
We're here to spread the light. We're here to spread the love no matter what we encounter.
And sometimes that just means a friendly hello, how are you? Sometimes it means a smile. Sometimes it means paying for somebody's groceries in line. Or it may be something where you're buying somebody some gasoline for their car when they need it. I mean, who knows what it is that we're doing? Or even, I'll say this right here, even to our listening audience, you can be a part and part of this ministry and plant your finances in this ministry. It's good growth. It is good ground where we are teaching the Word of God week after week after week after year. We are simply planting the Word of God in people's lives. And how much more should we not want to do that? I mean, we should stand up for who we are. These children of Israel, when the time came for them all to leave town, I don't think any of them, it doesn't say any were left behind. I don't think any of them said, nah, you know what? I've been a slave for so long and I kind of like being a slave. I think I'll just stay here and continue to make bricks without straw for the rest of my life and live all deprived of everything. I don't think one of those people stayed behind. Not one. It does. The word would have told us if a group would have stayed behind. And not one of them did. And what do you think of that, Megan? I mean, let's get out there on the front line. That's what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, let's stop being afraid to step on the front line, because
Amen.
There's freedom. There's freedom over the front line. And I think that might hold a lot of people back, because it's an unknown type of situation.
Right.
But there's protection on the other side of that
line. Ooh, amen.
It's God's divine protection. And, you know, we need to be like the Israelites. We need to follow direction. We need to follow what He tells us to do.
Yes.
We need to step over that line in courage and in bravery and put our badge on like a soldier and step out in this world and take up our jobs, Pastor. That's
absolutely.
What we need to stop being lackadaisical and step over the line.
Oh, yes. Betty, do you have a comment to that before we go to the song? And when I tell you the title of this, you're not even going to believe it. So, Betty, talk to me.
You know I always have something to say.
Yes.
You know, it's a job that you'll love.
Oh, it is.
You should love it more than anything else that you do.
Oh, absolutely.
Spreading the love of Christ.
Yes.
Brightening someone's day. It still gives me goosebumps, and it gives me such joy and such enjoyment and pleasure to be able to bless someone else, whether it's with a song or a prayer, a smile, whatever, is that I've brightened someone's day
no matter
what they're going through.
Woo! You know, girls, I wait on the Lord, you know, for what songs we're supposed to do for the show, but this is never scripted. I have a general idea of what I want to teach, what concepts, but we don't get together and discuss how it's going to go, right? You both can attest to that. And you two, but up there in Indiana, and Cindy up in Indiana, you don't have any idea what songs we're about to play. And so it's not scripted in any way. And when we started talking the last 10 minutes, I could not believe, here's the next song by the group New Song, We Wear His Name. Whoa, perfect song.
A little more
hangs his head and starts to pray. His dad is gone away to who knows where. He needs a hand to hold. He needs to feel there's hope. He needs someone to tell him Jesus cares. Lord, help me, please. He needs to know there's hope, someone to share the load, someone to give the love that sets me free. Someone like you and me, we wear his
name. Praise God. Betty, talk to me about that. Can you believe that? I love
well,
it.
If I can gain my composure, I don't know. These songs, I tell you what, music is just ministering to me these last few weeks.
Oh, yes.
And it's just like...
That couldn't have been more perfect, right?
I mean, hey, isn't that just like God? He shows up and shows off.
The Holy Spirit. He knows what we're going to be talking about right now. We don't, but he does. You know?
Yeah, he's just that way. It's just like the timing. His timing is perfect.
It is.
Even the timing for music on a show or in a church service is just so appropriate.
It is.
When the Holy Spirit... is ahead of it and paves the way for God to move and move mightily.
Oh.
And it blesses me, sister. I tell you.
Wow, well said, girl. Well said, Megan. Did you have a reaction to that? Could you believe how that fit together?
Yeah, that's just like Mom said. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
because He knows what He wants to say. And when the willing vessels that come on the radio show allow him to work, it flows this way.
Amen.
It teaches through song. He can teach you through song. He can teach you through scripture.
Yes.
Teach you through other people's examples. There's all kinds of ways, but it's just, that's just how cool it is. That's the Holy Spirit.
Well, I like what you said, both of you. And Betty, this thing about perfect timing is right on. So you see, since God had the plan that he was bringing Jesus a few thousand years later, and that he would be the Passover lamb, he gave us all a picture lesson in advance by delivering the children of Israel out of slavery, where they had been more than 200 years. They had lived in the land of Egypt 430 years, but they had been in slavery well over 200 years. And we know that a lot of us have been in slavery to all kinds of things in our lives. So God wants to deliver us, just like he delivered them. So the perfect time came, and you're going to understand why this time was so perfect in just a few minutes. We want you to stick with us. We see here in Exodus 12 that on the 14th day, they were given instruction. They were to slaughter that perfect lamb, the one-year-old male lamb. Male, that's interesting too, a type of Jesus. Okay, it couldn't have been a female lamb. That was not going to work. Keep it penned up till the 14th day, then slaughter it. The entire community of Israel will do this at dusk or twilight. Now, this is so fascinating because you know the time that they killed him was, there was a time of twilight. There was the 3 o'clock hour and the 6 o'clock hour at this for the Hebrews, for the Jews. And the exact moment that Jesus gave up his spirit, it's in the book of Matthew, was the moment at 3 o'clock when that earthquake hit. And you all know that story. We're getting ready to have Easter soon, and we'll talk about this more. Jesus willingly gave up his spirit at exactly 3 p.m., the same time that God told the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, kill that perfect lamb right at 3 o'clock. Whoa. This became the day of Passover. And he said, here's what you're to do. When you kill that, then you're going to do something with the blood. Now, some of our listeners may not understand the importance of the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. And this is a deep teaching, but it's also a teaching that's actually relatively easy, because all through the Old Testament, you see that the Israelites were sacrificing bulls, goats, whatever. They were sacrificing, and the blood, the shedding of the blood, was the important thing. When we go over to Hebrews, and we're in the New Testament, you don't have to go there in your Bible. I'm just going to quote it to you. Hebrews 9:22, through the pen of Paul, many, many years later, he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so the importance here is that in the Old Testament in Exodus, the blood had to be spilled out of that perfect lamb right at 3 o'clock. And that was a foreshadowing of what was going to happen a few thousand years later to Jesus on the cross at exactly 3 p.m. on the day of Passover. Exactly same day. Not a few years later, nothing like that. Exactly the right day. Now, they are given instructions, and then I want to talk to you two about this. They are given instructions, take some of the blood and smear it on the two doorposts of the lintel of the house in which you will eat. And so here's the way it looked. They were to take some blood and put it above the door frame, right at the top on the lintel, and then on the two side panels. This is an example for us of what we're to do with our minds. Okay, put the blood of Jesus symbolically over our mind, down the sides of our face. In other words, you say, what do you mean? Actually put blood? No, not, we don't actually do that. No, it is a symbolic thing that the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, when we plead the blood of Jesus over our minds, that we will start thinking clearly, that the devil will flee from us. The devil hates the blood of Jesus, because this is where the power is, in the blood, right? And so when we plead that, when by the word plead, I mean when we apply the blood of Jesus as an act of faith over our minds, I tell you, it works amazingly. The devil runs. Megan talked to me about this. The blood of Jesus, and that's where we see it first in Exodus chapter 12, over the doorposts and over the side posts of the door. Not on the ground, by the way, so that the blood could be trampled underfoot. No way. Uh-uh. Up above our head, so it runs down on our brains, and on the side, so it gets in. Megan, talk to me, and then Betty will go to you. Isn't this powerful stuff? Woo!
It is powerful. You know, and putting it on the top of the door and on the side made it purely visible to, you know, to who needed to see it.
So right.
That's why when you say you plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, you're surrounding yourself in that cleansing, quote-unquote, blood.
Amen.
Keeping the devil out of your mind.
Right.
Keeping your mind clean.
Right.
And you can do the same thing over any situation. You can plead
yes.
the blood of Jesus over someone.
Yes.
Or some situation.
Absolutely.
And so that you know that God's hand
yes.
and God's protection is upon that.
Woo! Amen. Amen. And it's simply, you know, words are powerful. Jesus taught this, and we are taught this all through the Bible. What comes out of your mouth is either life or death. Words have power, right?
Amen.
So when you, with your mouth, speak, I invoke the power of the blood of Jesus over my mind or over this situation or over my finances or over the pain in my body. Whatever it is, God responds to that. Betty, talk to us. Woo, good stuff.
Oh, it's awesome stuff. In fact, in looking back, you know, the blood of Christ is the believer's protection.
It is, yes.
It protected the Israelites from the wrath of God.
Amen. It did.
And the curse of the law.
Yeah.
And doing that, it makes us spiritually stronger.
Oh, it does.
Both mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah.
I mean, I plead the blood of Jesus over everything that I have.
Right. Your horses, your cows, your... Your
yeah,
dogs,
my chickens,
your cats.
My cats.
They're at your ranch there in Indiana.
Yeah. I do. I honestly do. And I know when we had a visit from you a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there's there were things that were left over from a previous, from 200 years ago. There were spirits that were still left here.
That you could feel.
And, I mean, everyone that walked to the back of the property could feel it.
Right.
And, you know, once that we pleaded the blood of Jesus.
Yes, we did.
Over this land, it's never been the same. Now,
right.
We actually have tried, and I know this may freak out some of the listeners, but I believe that they need to hear it, because there comes a point in time when you plead the blood of Jesus, you plead it over your children, your grandchildren.
Amen.
Over the things that are the most precious to you.
Yes.
Thanking Jesus for shedding his blood.
Amen.
But it gives us that reassurance.
Yes.
That Christ, even though, you know, we can't see him, so people say that, you know, oh, does he really exist? If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
I believe that the blood of Jesus cleansed me. It brought me to many, many chapters in my life where had it not been for the blood of Jesus,
right.
I don't know where I would be.
Right.
Because he died for us.
Yes.
He shed that blood for each and every one of us on that cross so that we would not have to go through the things that people had to go through, like the children of Israel. We would not have to go through that. That was the final line. He died.
Amen.
He was buried, and in a few weeks we'll learn how he rose again.
He rose again. Woo!
And it's powerful stuff, Pastor and Megan.
It's
good stuff. And I've been a Christian since 1985, and I'm learning a lot today through this message in Exodus. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the message and the word that you bring forth. Sometimes it can be life altering. It can be thought altering.
Absolutely. And, you know, God does nothing by coincidence and happenstance. And the longer I live, the more I realize God's divine timing and God's divine purposeful intent for things that happen in our lives. And some of you may be thinking, well, what about bad things that happen? There's a reason for them. Okay. And Megan, you certainly understand that. And we all do that. Sometimes bad things happen, and at the time they're very painful, but God will get glory from that situation. And he will also teach us his nature, no matter how difficult it is. For those children of Israel that were in slavery for a couple hundred years, And they were suffering and suffering and suffering. Yet when they were free indeed. And God took them out in a mighty way. And dear listener, God wants to deliver you today from some of the junk that has held you down. And we're going to talk more about that as we begin our second hour in just a couple minutes. I can't believe we're almost done with our first hour. This is a two-hour show. If you are just joining us on Living the Good Life for the first time, we are Beacon of Hope Ministries, located in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and Betty and Megan are from the church I pastored in Indiana, but are now a part of Beacon of Hope from a distance. And a lot of people are from Beacon of Hope now, part of us from a distance, which is really cool. And we are going to be talking more about this subject, and it's a vitally very important subject in the next few moments. But we invite you to check out our website. It's www.bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, bohmglobal.com. Easy to remember, bohmglobal.com. Go there and check it out. And you will find that we have over 300 of our past shows on that website. We have a big server. We have a lot of room. And so we just continually post our shows there. They're posted at the end of each month for the whole month. Like the February shows aren't up there yet, but you can actually go to this radio station, Tantalk1340.com, and go to podcasts, Living the Good Life, and you can hear them before they're posted on our website. And they're posted at the end of each month now. So we just invite you to listen, make it a teaching tool for you, tell people about it. Betty, we talked about the prayer line at the beginning of the show, prayers at bohmglobal.com. Tell our audience who can use that line.
Anyone.
Anyone. There you go. Anybody. Right answer.
Male, female.
Anybody.
Whoever you are.
Right.
If you have a need or a request, in fact, I just got one just about 3 or 4 minutes ago.
Okay.
And God, just the mention of his name, Jesus,
yes,
is enough.
Yes.
For you. That's all you have to send.
Amen.
Unspoken request. We take them before the throne of glory, and
yes,
we ask God to lay his hands upon these prayer requests. And we have seen such
miracles.
I mean, we're talking
healings
down,
from
right?
Yes.
God brought miracles.
Yes.
Of people being brought out of what Satan has meant for destruction,
right.
God brings it out for good. And I tell you what, it makes me happy. I do happy dances when I get, get praise reports. I actually do. I thank God and praise him.
We know you, and, so we believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just a wild woman when it comes,
you are a wild woman.
To praising God. Yeah, I am a wild woman for Christ.
Woo, praise God. So we want people to use our prayer line, prayers at bohmglobal.com. There's no requirement to be a part of Beacon of Hope or anything like that. Use it. Give that address out to anybody. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. It amazes me when we get anonymous requests that come from other countries or other states or whatever. Anybody can use it. If you want to be on the prayer team, just write a quick note to Betty and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim. They're the ones that man that prayer line. And they will put you on the list to receive those emails, and you can be a part of the prayer team from a distance. Real quick, Megan, our new endeavor in the last few months, Go Yard on Thursday night, our other radio show. Please tell them about that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Go Yard is an awesome new show because it is a show about how to counsel your life. And what I mean by that is that you and Dr. Falzone speak about real-life situations that
right.
occur in everybody's life today, and then you give examples and solutions to how to handle those problems.
Right.
And everybody should listen and tune in and call and participate. And I know you can give your information about texting and all that stuff, but
yeah,
people can call and participate, which is really awesome.
Yeah, we want you to participate and go to our website. That's a separate website, goyard2014.org. goyard2014.org. Go Yard means hitting home run in life, and that's what that show's all about. It's a life coaching show. Dr. Falzone, one of our people, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, joins me and with my other name, Mama Mac, every Thursday at 6 Tampa time, which is Eastern Standard. It airs on the Starcom network at 4 every Thursday Central time. So if you can remember all that, just go to our website and it'll all be there. And so we're so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. And we got to do a little station ID. And then we will be right back. Just take a second and get this done.
WTAN, Clearwater.